Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
We have been, as we continue to celebrate resurrection, and as we have been celebrating, at some point we have to move from the event of resurrection to experiencing resurrection. Yeah? We have to move from the event of resurrection to experiencing the resurrection in our personal lives. Experiencing resurrected life begins with recognizing that the reason Christ is among us. Acknowledging that is he is with us today. And that is the gift of Easter, that we have him all the time with us. That is the gift of Easter. But also, that is also a challenge. A challenge to acknowledge his presence with us every day. And that is what has been described in our today's reading. The challenge of acknowledging his presence with us. And that's what the disciples in today's scripture we read, they're struggling to understand his presence with them. We have been proclaiming that Christ is risen. And he is risen indeed. But it is not enough to proclaim that he is risen just because looking at that empty tomb. That empty tomb doesn't prove that he is risen. Empty tomb could mean anything. It could mean anything. That it could mean that Jesus' body has been stolen from the tomb and he's taken somewhere else. And this is what exactly was Mary was thinking when she went that morning on that place. Seeing the tomb empty, she was not immediately thinking of resurrection, was she? The first thought came in her mind was, they have stolen him. They have stolen his body. They have placed him somewhere else. That's what was going in her mind. And when Jesus came along, she said, they have taken my Lord away. Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him. Thinking he was a gardener, she starts conversation with him. Empty tomb doesn't meant her anything. She thought that his body was stolen or replaced or placed somewhere else. Empty tomb is not enough to proclaim that Christ is risen. Another instance, in the same 24th chapter, we see from verse 13 onwards, which we didn't read it, but we can see that in Luke chapter 24, and we probably know the story of two men walking on the road of Emmaus. They were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and one was named Cleopas, and his friend, they were walking. And as they were walking towards that town, Jesus shows up from nowhere, walks along with them, but they did not recognize him. In verse 24 of 24th chapter, we read that they were talking, and as they were talking, they said, well, some of us went to saw the tomb, and they saw that the tomb was open, but they did not see Jesus. They did not see Jesus' body. The point they were also making, we did see the empty tomb, but we did not see his body. We did not see him, indicating that could mean anything. That means his body must have been stolen, or perhaps he could have been moved somewhere else. Again, we see that empty tomb is not enough to tell the world, to proclaim his resurrection, that he is alive today. Then we read in further in verse 36 onwards that these two people, when their eyes were opened, when Jesus breaks the bread, they realize it's him. And then with the joy, they return immediately back to Jerusalem. And as they were talking to the other disciples, as they were telling what was happened and what the way he came along, the way he talked and the way he broke the bread, and as they were speaking, Jesus shows up again in that room. And he says, "Peace be with you." Then they see him, they hear his voice, and yet they did not recognize him. They knew Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. And in their human mind, they know that dead men don't come back to life. So immediately when they saw him, they thought it was a ghost. The tomb was open, but their minds were still closed. They were trying to understand this supernatural and unusual event with their natural and usual human understanding. In their mind, they had separated spirit and matter, divinity and humanity, and heaven and earth were separated in their mind. And let me tell you, whenever we make that separation, we close our minds. We deny ourselves the resurrected life for which Christ died. And we lose our sense and ability to recognize God's presence in this world, in his people, and in ourselves. During our Lent course, we wrestled with many questions. And one of the questions we did discuss about was Jesus' heavenly body, through which he could pass through the closed doors. He once comes, when he comes in, inside, he invites his friends and asks them to feel his wounds. And then later on, he eats with them. Resurrected life can never be comprehended or controlled or understood by human thoughts or by human understanding. Jesus' resurrection compels us to step outside our usual human understanding of reality and enter into the divine reality. New reality begins with touching and feeling and seeing. When he comes in, he invites them saying, "Why are you troubled? And doubts rise in your minds. Look at my hands, my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Then he showed them his hands and his feet. After that, he ate with them in their presence. Again, flesh and bones, hands and feet, and fish. These are the things of creation, the natural order. They are the very same flesh and bones. Hands and feet appeared to Cleopas and his friend when they were walking on the road of Emmaus. As they were talking and as they were speaking with him, all of a sudden, this whole body disappears from their sight. And now, again they see him coming into that room, uninvited, and all of a sudden, unexpectedly, he comes and joins in their conversation. Here, the resurrected life of Christ is revealed in and through the created order. But it is not bound by the created order. The resurrected body and life of Christ unites the visible and invisible, matter and spirit, humanity and divinity. On the one hand, Jesus has a real body. On the other hand, it is not subject to the natural laws of his time and space. It is not one or the other, but it is both. It is the new and different reality. Many times we try to understand resurrection with our human mind. But to the degree which we allow ourselves to be bound by the created order is the degree to which we are unable to see resurrected life in this world. We bind ourselves through our fears, our sorrows, our losses, our runaway thoughts and distractions, our attachments and our addictions to the worldly things. And sometimes it's our unwillingness to allow God to change us or to open our understanding or our mind. In binding ourselves to the created order, we lose the ability to live in the sacred, which is the very opposite to the resurrected life. Christ longs to open our minds to understand and to understand his scripture, to understand all that has been written, spoken, and revealed about him has happened. That's what Jesus did for his disciples, and he wanted them to understand. And that's what he wants to do for you and me. The disciples are witnesses. But it does not mean that they have all the answers and they understood everything. It means that now they have the life that Jesus wanted them to have it. They are the witnesses, and this fact is not just based on how much they know or what they know, but it is based on who they are, how they live, and their relationship with their risen master. The resurrected life of Christ reveals that all creation and every one of us are filled with God's presence and his holiness. Nothing can bind the grace that is given to us through resurrection. That is God's unconditional love, his unconditional forgiveness, and his unconditional life. This is the divine reality in which we are invited to live in. Not sometime in future, but now and here today. Think about the time when life seemed more real than it ever had been, and you touched life in a way you have never done before. Recall a moment when your heart opened and you knew you were somehow different. Those are the moments when Christ opens our mind to understand. They are the moments of awe and wonder that leaves us in sacred silence. These are the moments that fill our eyes with the tears. They are the moments in which we say, I never want this to end. I don't want to leave this place. In each of these moments, the one who is fully alive and risen is calling us to see and recognize him and to discover our new life in him. So let's not lose this moment. Let's not put this text behind us. It is much too easy to come here as we do every Sunday, listen to the word, and then return to our normal life. Let's not allow that happen today. Our lives are too precious to let that happen. Let's carry this text with us today. Let it open our eyes, our heart and mind to the life Christ is offering to us. Jesus said, "You are witnesses. You are witnesses. Empty tomb cannot witness that he is alive." Empty tomb means can be anything. It could mean anything. It could mean his body has been stolen or he has been placed somewhere else. Empty tomb cannot witness him. But what can witness about his resurrection? That is you and me. That is why Jesus says, "You are my witnesses." And there was another sort of second reading in the morning we had from the Acts, where Paul says, "We are the witnesses. We are the witnesses who have seen Christ risen and visiting us." So let's live it, talk about it, and become it. May God grant us all the needed strength and understanding to understand his presence with us as we live in this world. Amen.